Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition. Jason, am I boring you? No, I'm tired sometimes. Edition. Is Matt LaFleur making excuses now for Jordan Love's interceptions? Because I don't think they're that big of a deal. So I don't think we need to make excuses for it. Edition.
Sure, and talking about it a lot. I make it a big deal, talk about it all the time.
It's going to be one of those days. And the Bucks
dropping it in.
Nuggets finals? Do we believe this? We'll talk to the man who made the prediction a little bit later in the program edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Woo! I'll tell you what, man. I got something up my sleeve for headlines on Friday. The filming has commenced, and
nice.
I think I should be an honorary member of the Academy because of how I've taken a, let's be honest, poorly written script and done a much better job with it.
Wow.
Yes, I'm calling you out, Patrick.
Oh, boy.
Wow. It's a lot of work to make this work. Again, I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. I'm coming in hot today. I'm not going to lie. Jesse Nelson and Pablo Iglesias are in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios.
You're not boring us.
From an undisclosed location, he's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Sleepy.
So, all right. Jesse, do you have the audio?
I do. Give me 30 seconds to preface it, and we will be ready to go.
Preface it?
I was going to say, no, I don't have the audio.
That's what, that, by the way, translation, that was the answer.
I do. It's just I got a little itty-bitty editing to finish up here. Just 30 seconds.
So Tausch, I've covered now, LaFleur is my fifth head coach, Holmgren, Rhodes, Sherman
McCarthy,
LaFleur. And
nope. Joe Philbin.
Ah, yeah,
six.
Okay. Interim, but he counts, yes, no doubt. So, when I'll never forget the introductory press conference of Matt LaFleur when Mark Murphy talked roughly six times more than Matt LaFleur did at Matt LaFleur's own introductory press conference.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
So, during the first few years, then we had COVID, so we were on Zoom calls. But, you know, Matt, I would say he was very straight-laced, buttoned up, right? A lot of boring answers, certainly not a lot of interplay. Eventually, we got to the point
That's a great question, Jason. And why do you like to stir stuff up and everything like that?
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
That's the one. Yeah. So yesterday, he had his regular day after the game Q&A session with us. And I'm sitting in my normal seat. I don't even know if I had asked a question at that point because I, again, remain very, very inept at the jump in. The answer ends and you time it up. So you boop, like jump in the snap, right? I'm not good at it. Sure. So I need a beat of silence to get in there. But I yawned. And I did the, I covered it for those of you watching on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. I did the whole mouth cover, like I did this. So I was trying to hide it as best I could. It kind of caught me by surprise. Unfortunately, it also was caught by Matt LaFleur.
Well, there was a lot going on through my mind, but it was more or less just, I think anytime, it was unfortunate. I would say in the moment that we had to be in that situation. I think a lot of times when you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or misops to kind of put yourself in that position. So never want to put somebody in that position, but I mean, shoot, a lot of these games are going to go down to a last second field goal. You saw it in what Detroit Minnesota game as well. Tired there, Jason?
No.
Not boring you? Okay. But, yeah, it's just, you know, we're fortunate that he's been in those situations before. So I know somebody was standing next to Byron, and Byron's like, yeah, no problem. He's gonna make it.
So what sucks about that was that he was in the midst of a really good answer about what was going through his mind. So he definitely was not boring me. It was a great answer about what he was thinking as Brandon McManus trotted onto the field to kick the game winner. There was the timeout that he kicked it again. And he's sitting there thinking about what a crappy game he called offensively and all the missed opportunities. It's a fantastic answer. My question for you is, is it rude to yawn, and is there anything I could have done to prevent it? Because I love the fact that he called me out. And later on in the press conference, I gave him the stat that I gave you, and he totally looked at me like, nerd, what are you doing? I'm leaving now, because it was at the end of the press conference.
We have that audio too, don't worry.
So my question is, how do you prevent yourself from yawning? Because it wasn't boring. I wasn't overly tired. And just a yawn snuck up on me. And I would prefer that over a very loud sneeze or poking on your water or whatever other distraction. Taylor Swift song playing from your phone, which has also happened to me.
Walking in late.
Yeah, it's a journey for me. Tausch, what did I do wrong here?
I don't know if I could even say you did anything wrong. I mean, you need to cover it up better or act like you're coughing. It's like, but I yawn at you all the time. And most of the time it is because I'm bored by you. Yeah, but no, first off, you always would take a sneeze over a yawn. Like if somebody sneezes, if I'm giving a talk or if doing a Q&A, I'd much rather you sneeze. I say gesundheit. And yeah, we move on. Yeah. Yawning is basically letting the person know, I'm disinterested. I'm not really intrigued by what you're answering. And I know that it's an involuntary thing. I get it. But he would not have said something had you sneezed, unless he said gesundheit or you're so good looking, however you wanted to frame it. So
great Seinfeld reference.
I'm not sure there's a ton you could do differently, but I don't blame Matt LaFleur for being irritated about you yawning. Because it makes it feel like I'm up here giving my time to y'all, and you can't even be engaged or you know, not sleepy when you're doing it. I get it.
What does it tell you about the vibe in the building and where Matt LaFleur is as a coach? That like he's been doing this to Bill Huber from Sports Illustrated a bunch lately too. Well, what do you think, Bill? Like yesterday, Huber asked a question about the punt that they mishandled, the one where they didn't have the Peter call, the other one where Jaden Reed retreated into the end zone. And Bill asked what the coaching point was, and LaFleur said, well, what do you think the coaching point should, Bill? What would you do? So he's more engaging and giving us grief, which I always take, whether it's me just being wishful thinking or not, as a good thing, right? Because if he doesn't really have a relationship with you or doesn't particularly like you, he doesn't bother with that. He just answers your question and moves on. So what does it tell you about where this team is at and where he's at that he's doing this more and more, or does it tell you nothing?
No, it tells me that the vibes are great and that, yes, I think he is not eggshelled. He's not walking around. I think he has now really found himself, the fact that he did not call a good game, and he can recognize that, talk about it. And I don't love the fact, and I saw the post-game stuff on Packers.com. He's excited, and anytime you win in the NFL, you better enjoy the heck out of it, and I think he did. But I kind of like the fact that he's still irritated, even though old boy's lining up for a game-winning kick and he's got all these other things on his mind. Coaches have to also start planning out their messaging, and now that everything is caught on camera, you have to make sure you kind of have a cognizant thought so that you can, you know, do that when you get in the locker room. But it tells me that these guys, and this is the beauty of having a young football team that isn't jaded, is you're enjoying this. And you see the positives in this, and you still know from a coaching standpoint, man, we got a lot of stuff to get better at. Coaches are always worried if things get complacent or if people are feeling a little too good. So the fact that you can have a little fun, show your personality off, you're being you. And the biggest thing about coaching, outside of knowing what the hell you're talking about, is being authentic. And I think LaFleur had to kind of bottle himself up a little bit for part of his time in Green Bay, and it was always, there was a lot of oxygen going in certain directions, and I think we can kind of figure out what directions those would go. And now, there's still oxygen going at the quarterback position, but it's just, I think he's just a lot freer. He seems to really be enjoying himself, because I think he loves this football team, and I think he knows, like I know, or at least I think, this group's going to get a lot better. This is not, and it's what I keep telling people that are panicking. Now, again, I'm not sitting here saying we can continue on this path. We continue on this path. We ain't winning a Super Bowl. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with a negative three on the turnovers. And if your quarterback is careless with the football, you ain't going to win. You're not. I just don't believe this is what it's going to look like. I saw what last season looked like. I know that he had a knee, and he's fighting an injury, and he's doing some different, and he's finding himself. He's a second-year starter, everybody. And I know that probably was a lot of the conversation, but I think Matt knows all that. And the fact that they have the firm belief in Jordan that they do, they know this is going to be one hell of a ride, and, man, I'm here for it, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm also going to coach hard. That's what that tells me.
Yeah, and look, I do think LaFleur defended his quarterback. I don't think we were necessarily attacking him, but I do think he made some, I don't want to call them excuses, maybe explanations. Like, for example, the one where he overshoots Christian Watson, and if you go back and look at the play on NFL Plus, you'll see it. You know, Zach Tom, who we all agree is a really, really good right tackle, but sometimes you lose even when you're really, really good, gets beat by Danielle Hunter on the edge. And he pressures Jordan Love, and Jordan Love is throwing, kind of falling away. And that affects your accuracy. And he sailed the ball, and it's intercepted. Now, is some of that on Jordan Love? Absolutely, right? Take a couple of sidesteps and try and set your feet or whatever it might be. I don't know, but you can't sail the ball there because it ends up being picked. At the same time, he was influenced by the rush. So I understand what LaFleur is doing. Now, I do think it's important to point out, to your point about continuing to play this way, that let's not forget that on the game-winning drive, Love also almost threw a pick. And he was fortunate that it wasn't. And so if we can't, what I'm arguing is, I don't think we can overreact. I also don't think we should poo-poo what he's been doing. And that's why I believe in my Sunday story about how he is pushing the envelope and trying to find that fine line of taking risks but not being overly risky with the football. And I think that's a process for him. And I'm okay that he's going through it. It just is, and correct me if I'm wrong, a little bit jarring because of the final eight regular season games and what he did in Dallas and what he did for much of the San Francisco game, which is he never even was putting the ball in harm's way, hardly ever. Like, he wasn't even coming close to interceptions. And now not only is he throwing them, but he almost had one when the game was on the line. Fair?
It still comes down to understanding what you need to do. And for as bad of a throw as that was in the NFC divisional round against San Francisco, he had to make a play. Now, did he need to do that at that point? No.
And on first down.
That's what the Minnesota game, when you're down 28, you got to go make plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's coming back. So, some of these picks, okay. But there have been some where I think there's been a little bit of an arrogance about his arm. And I love it. I don't have a problem with it. It's the decisions within that arrogance that I always thought with Brett was kind of okay. You never really felt that way with Rodgers. You know, he had plenty of arrogance with his arm, but he didn't usually, he knew, you know, he didn't miss very often. And in Jordan's case, I think that's the battle line that he's continuing to fight is, where do I push? And understanding flow of game is that next, is another step in his development of saying, you know what? Our defense is back on its heels a little bit today. I got to make plays. And then there's another game like we saw on Sunday where it's, these boys ain't doing anything against this group. I got to be very smart with the football. I'm not going to throw over the middle with a linebacker running that can tip the ball up. Understanding what the game is, what you need to do, is another thing that I think Jordan, along with tightening up some decision-making, but I'm just not going to be as overly critical about it. I think it is something to monitor and to make sure, because if this is his final product, which I know it's not going to be, or at least I certainly hope, you're not going to win turning the ball over as much as you do at that quarterback position as we've done so far.
All right, well, you're definitely not going to win very often when you turn the ball over three times and don't get any takeaways and finish the game minus three. In fact, how rare is it? You already know if you were listening to yesterday's show. And now Matt LaFleur knows, too. We'll get to that coming up after Tausch tells us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella. The durability of materials gets tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. And Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. And right now, to celebrate, still can't believe the new sleek Gina Della is 60 years old, but I guess she is. 60th birthday with zero for 60. Zero down. And zero interest for up to 60 months. 60 months.
That's
certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
We'll get to that fascinating stat that apparently fascinates only me. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I'm coming back on top, and I'm dead.
So I gave you this stat yesterday, which, again, maybe I'm just being a nerd about these numbers. But Matt LaFleur kept saying, I don't know how many times a team has won at minus three in the turnover differential. Well, thanks to Tom Fanning of Packers PR, I do know how rare it is. And I thought maybe Matt would like to know. I'm not sure he did. Here's how yesterday's press conference ended.
So did your boss give you the how rare it is to do what you guys did yesterday?
No.
Like 2-2 in your career? This is from Fanning.
Okay.
You're 2-2 when you've lost the turnover battle.
We are. You're Green Bay Packers.
Yes, under you.
Okay.
But since 2000, this is incredible. This is incredible. Teams that lost the turnover
it's
battle
incredible.
Three or more. 90 wins, 1,161 losses,
yeah.
And three ties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't a question.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fun fact of the day.
Wow.
So I thought that went well. It is a fun fact of the day.
Your name's Matt, right? There's like three other coaches in the division that's names are Matt.
That was not nearly as awkward as that. Matt Damon.
No, not even in the same league, but very awkward. Like,
not
you know what?
Very,
when you're asking,
a little awkward.
Jason, when you're a reporter and you're at the press conference, like Del Griffith or like Steve Martin said to Del Griffith.
Have a point.
Have a point. You know,
so
have
much
a beginning,
more interesting for the
have
listener.
A middle.
Yeah.
Have a point. It makes it that much more entertaining for your audience and for your coach.
Yeah. First of all, we were at the end. We had already gone over the two-question warning. LaFleur had again referenced how rare it was. I thought maybe that was a piece of information he'd be interested in. He wasn't overly interested in it, but
turns out you were incorrect on your assessment.
I was indeed. Now, which I would happened. Say this. That's not something that I would do in the middle of the press conference. Did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds? It had a little bit of a feel like that to it. Jonathan Lipnicki back there. But we were done. So I felt like it was an okay time to do that. Now, I would also add that the rule still stands. It is not about you. It is about the answers you get from them. And
how do you think that answer you got went?
Well, I wasn't seeking an answer there. I was just giving him a piece of information. I wasn't. I'm telling you, I wasn't. Now, would I have liked for him to have embraced it more?
Would you have liked? Yes. You would have liked to have expanded, said, that's interesting. And you know what, Jason? That just reiterates the point. We got to be smarter with the football. We got to create turnovers. But that's not what he did. He basically just said,
yeah,
cool.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it worked. I am saying that it would have been great if that would have led to further discussion. And instead, hey, it's our fun fact of the day. So it's
there,
all
Jason.
Good.
I felt like you were trying to defend your point, and the bottom line is it didn't work, and that's okay. Just like Jordan throwing picks, you're 29 years in. You still have room for growth. You still have bad press conferences, and you have questions that fall super, super, super flat, and that was one of them.
Gotta love the YouTube comments. Gériard suggesting that this could be a very effective furtherance of our partnership with Steinhoffels. We can utilize this in terms of my need for a new mattress. So I'm sleeping better. That's some pretty good stuff right there. All right, John chiming in as well. You can keep those coming in the YouTube comments. Again, I really like that Matt LaFleur is doing. I really do. I think this is a really good sign about where he's at, where this team is at. I think they're going to go down to Jacksonville and win. They're going to be on a 4-game winning streak going into a huge matchup with the Lions.
Jameson Williams, no go next week in 2 weeks. So he's suspended. PS or performance enhancers. So things are looking up for the G&G.
Like I get
you know
what's
something? I hate bringing this up.
Oh, no. Then don't.
I'm torn. Well, but I kind of have to because it's a big storyline. Not nothing about you sleeping through the press conference.
I beg your pardon?
You know, I said it's not about you sleeping through the press conference. That's not what I was. I see Jesse Pablo
back there.
That's not
what you said initially.
Yeah, I caught myself immediately. Pablo back there doing this.
Almost became more of a soap opera here.
I'm not going to say it. I'll say it later.
No, you won't because now you'll forget. So you better say
it now. We're a really healthy football team.
Oh, my God.
This football team is super healthy. I know. But, Jason, you start looking at what happened to Tampa last night.
I was just going to say, did you see what happened to Tampa? They lost Chris Godwin and Mike Evans in the same
play. Garbage time.
What are you doing, man?
Stop with that foolishness. The 10-point game, you're going to go play. All you all coaches out there getting after Todd Bowles about putting his players out there, stop with that foolishness. Football players play football.
If
it's a 20-point game, you sit them. It's a 10-point game. You go win. You go play. And it's unfortunate that it happened. Godwin seems to be, you know, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. But all I'm telling you is you start looking around at the big boy contenders. The G&G keep climbing because the G&G keeps climbing. And I'm not trying to jinx anything. I'm just stating facts. A lot of the big boys are losing some pretty big contributors. Not so much here at Lambeau. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of football left.
I don't feel
my
great
friend.
About saying it.
Yeah, but then why'd you even bring it up then?
Well, and you could argue back, well, Jordan Love, how many guys have missed their starting quarterback? And that's my point, the depth and the way this roster's built, they've handled it, and now you just hope that continues. But a lot of critical injuries at teams that you would think are right on that door with the G&G.
There's no doubt about that. All right, well, let's talk about something that isn't potentially a hex. Let's talk about how important it is that
should you're... I not talk about the stuff that I think is really interesting, even though
it's very interesting. I just
it's
want
tough.
You to be ready. I just want you to be ready for some of the smoke that's going to come your way because people
That's why
are
I'm not going into YouTube comments.
Even though there's just because you said something, it does not mean someone's going to suffer an injury. It just feels like
anything specific.
You say that. Right.
Yep. Nothing specific. But, it was just an observation that I think is another trend line for my prediction in the beginning of the season to potentially come true. That's
until all. It's not, and you lose guys that are really important to what you do.
That's how the big boy world works. And get ready for spring and do it now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over winter. Potholes, crack curbs, drainage issues. Things are bad now. Call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed. Schedule a free, no obligation quote. To get a walkthrough of your pavement, they'll be able to see signs of asphalt pavement work that is needed by spotting fatigue cracking. Jason, you know about fatigue cracking, all that yawning. Bet you're yawning all over that concrete, aren't you?
Good
standing
one.
Water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and more. Don't scare away your customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now, save money later. JohnsonandSonsPaving.com.
Jesse, do you think yawning is rude?
I do not think yawning is rude.
That's the question you polled.
Yes. Becca thinks yawning is rude, and she gets mad at me every time I yawn. Like, she'll be telling me a story of, like, something that happened at work, and I'll yawn.
Are you disinterested, though?
No, I am. What she's I'm interested. I'm just, you know, you get tired sometimes. Are you, as
would
someone
you,
pointed out, you
would
lack
you
oxygen.
Rather have someone, would you rather have someone just say, I'm bored with this? Let's not talk about
I don't
yawn.
I think it's a misguided notion that yawning represents that you're disinterested in what's being said. Like, there are a lot of times I'm listening intently to a story that Becca's telling me. I yawn, and she'll stop telling the story and say, okay, clearly you don't care, and just move on. I'm like, that's not what this is.
Welcome to marriage,
just
by
tired.
The way.
Yeah.
It's subliminal.
It's not.
It's subliminal. So,
it's not.
Yes.
No, it was it a is. Really good, in my case, it was a really good answer. We'll ask Evan Cohen if he's ever yawned during Unsportsmanlike and the cameras caught him. And we'll ask him about his big NBA Finals prediction as the season kicks off. We'll talk to him next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
You know what that music means? You can listen to him and see him what is it, ESPNU most of the time, Tausch? You're a big viewer.
I only get a chance to see him typically on ESPN2.
Okay.
Usually 5 to 5:30 before I go play pickleball.
Go pickleballing, yeah.
That's kind of my time for the Evan Cohen Show.
Well, I'm also curious what his track record is. You know, you and him are both NBA experts. You have a lot of NBA knowledge.
True.
I'd be curious what his prediction track record is because of the prediction he made today for who's going to win the NBA championship this year. You see him and listen to him on Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Mishmel Schmalman. It is Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
How is your track record as a predictor of NBA championships?
Hello? I lost you guys for a sec. Sorry.
How is your track record for predicting NBA champions?
Let's see. Probably not as good as other people's, but I know that Bucks fans are going to want me to be right this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say I get it right every single year. I've been right a bunch of times about different things. I was right about the Warriors a few times, but that's really a bold prediction.
Nailed it. Sure.
I also think I may have picked them to go to the finals the year they won 15 games. So not ideal, but I'm not kidding. Why is my Bucks prediction considered a bold prediction? Like I literally don't understand that.
Well, I don't know.
Evan,
if it's bold,
they're not even the NBA happened. Didn't even put them on Christmas Day. The NBA doesn't think much of the Bucks anymore.
So.
Well, that you asked why it's a big deal. Like, people are writing, it's got, New York and Boston and, Philadelphia. They have 100 games on Christmas, and they decide one of the biggest stars internationally and in the, obviously the NBA, they don't even put the Bucks on, put them on at 10 in the morning. They don't even have the Bucks playing on Christmas. What a slap to the face.
Okay, so good. So take it and run with it if you're the Bucks, right? Like, Tausch, this is the thing.
Wait, no,
like,
you asked the question. They are. But you asked the question.
Right. Okay, so what I'm saying is, I think there's, like, so where my mind went, when you're making a prediction, you don't want to go chalky, right? Like, if you're making NFL predictions, you just have to leave the Chiefs out, right? If you're going to say, all right, let me make my Super Bowl pick. If you pick anybody but the Chiefs, it's just, like, it's stupid in terms of a prediction. So I did not want to sit there this morning and take, Celtics and Thunder or Celtics and T-Wolves. I don't actually buy into the Sixers. So I'm like, all right, where am I going to go with this? And here's where I went mentally, because I think you'll understand this part of it. I went to the place of, could I really see Giannis's career with the Bucks and Jokic's career with the Nuggets ending with one total finals appearance for each? So instead, I said, you know what? It's not that illogical to think that if the Bucks have health for the majority of the season, and obviously they don't have it to start the season, and they get the year this year that they thought they were going to get last year from Dame, who I also picked to win the MVP as part of this, just to be a little different, but I also believe it. Like, why is that so ridiculous? Giannis is, you've got to listen to what some of these guys say and then hope they back it up with the actions. Giannis is basically telling you, if we don't win it all this year, it's all going to be done, and I may be done with it. He's told you that, right? Like he said, hey, they may want to trade me, which is brilliant code for if we don't get to the finals or if we don't win a championship, it's obvious that Dame, Middleton, and Lopez will be gone, and as a result, what am I doing here exactly? And I think some of the moves they've made this offseason by way of some of the pieces they've added around Giannis and Dame and some of the coaching moves by bringing back Darvin Ham specifically to serve on that bench with Doc are pretty smart moves. I think we've seen this organization is willing to take risks, willing to take chances, and they have mega stars, obviously, in their big two, and they have those two big two, and yet, in the biggest of moments, I'd still rather Middleton take a shot. So that means they have a big three, and oh, by the way, if Brooke Lopez can give you 25 minutes a game, I mean, he's awesome. So I wouldn't give up on this team, and I don't think it's that bold, despite whether, like, that doesn't mean they're going to have the highest of TV ratings. I still think they're really good, or can be really good.
Yeah, I just, are they athletic enough?
So there's a guy on their team that I loved coming out of college, and I think the more you can work him in, that question will be answered, and that's Andre Jackson Jr. of from UConn. was in his second year. I think he has a lot of potential to be a versatile athlete on their team, if that's what you're looking for. He's not going to shoot the lights out, but that, if you're just looking for, we need somebody for 5 minutes to try to guard Jaylen Brown, like, I think he can be that guy. If that's what you're referring to, Tosh, which I think you are.
Yeah, I think that's been a concern, is the perimeter athleticism, being able to handle the athletic, you know, obviously what the Celtics can do and some of these other teams. So we'll see. I love it. I think it's bold. I hope you're right. I think a lot of us Wisconsin sports fans hope you're right. It does feel like the Bucks nationally, they've been poo-pooed, because I don't think national folks want to see the Bucks succeed. I just don't. I think they're, oh, we're done with this group. This time has come. Let's move forward. That's the vibe that I think a lot of us as Bucks fans have.
I don't mean this disrespectfully. I don't think national media and I would be one of them have enough of an opinion on the Bucks on a regular basis.
That's my
to
point.
Say we don't want to see them succeed. I don't think we care one way or another.
Oh, come on. You're all about the Lakers, New York, Philadelphia.
Yeah,
like, what are
right.
you talking
about? Don't care about right. We
so you care about those big saying. Markets, you don't care about Milwaukee. That's my point.
No, I think we care now, because you can't say that, because
you don't.
Anthony Edwards is very, very talkable at this point. I think we care about some of the debatable, controversial figures.
Know, it's, let me tell you something. First Take's going to have LeBron and his kid, and oh, Anthony Davis, and oh, what's going to happen here? Let's just be honest about it. That's okay.
So if Mark Tauscher was really running ESPN, the father son duo he'd be discussing today would be Gary Trent and Gary Trent Jr., both having played for the Bucks.
Listen, obviously
no,
that's
sure
a big story.
On that. That's where
Evan,
we're going.
Hey, don't be obtuse. You're being obtuse. Don't be obtuse.
Uh-oh.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Well, that's what he's doing. Like, come on. Evan, is it rude if you're going through a point and Canty starts yawning? How are you reacting to that?
Did he do that to me today? I don't even know.
I missed it. No, Jason did it to the head football coach of the Green Bay Packers and got called out in the press conference about it.
Wow. Let's talk about that for a second if we could. I didn't know this.
Tired
terrible
there,
job
Jason.
By me.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah.
Okay. So, Jason, what time was Tosh, I'll take over from here. Thanks. You can have your
go for it. I'm going to take the day.
Yeah. What a
your
surprise.
Your terrible NBA takes we're done with.
Okay. Jason, what time of day was the presser?
2 p.m.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, leading up to that presser, obviously you did your show for 3 hours. I'm sure you took your daughters or helped with the school process, whatever it is in the morning for you guys. And then maybe you made your way over to Lambeau after a little lunch to cover the Packers. Is that a fair assessment of the day?
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. Walk the dogs.
Okay.
Sure.
Fleet Farm. He had Fleet Farm, too.
Okay. Night before, did we stay up late? What did we do the night before?
No, not terribly late. I watched the end of the Sunday night game and then went to bed.
How'd that go for your buddy? Anyway, okay, so now...
No, that was... it went well. It was very good.
Oh, did that, by the way, just us talking. Oh, did he hate not only losing, but he lost to Russ. Oh, baby. Anyway, okay, so that presser, 2 o'clock LaFleur, did he bore you? Because clearly
no.
You should not have been that tired.
I wasn't tired, and it was a really good answer. He was basically talking about he had been asked what happened, what was going through his head as the new kicker, Brandon McManus, ran out onto the field to go kick the game winner. And he was talking about how he was Rolodexing all of the missed opportunities and the bad play calls he'd made to put them in that position. It was a really good answer. I wasn't tired.
You saw it in what Detroit-Minnesota game as well. Tired there, Jason?
No.
Am I boring you?
That is so awesome. Wait, so Jason, here's the other part of this. Jason, you don't know how to do, like, the look away, look down, cover your mouth, yawn, where, you, like, people wouldn't know you're yawning? Like, let's just say what LePay has to do for 4 quarters with Tausch next to him?
I went full hand coverage. I thought I hit it actually pretty effectively, and I did tilt my head down.
They don't have a camera on the media. They just have it on LaFleur. But I thought I was going to get away with it. And instead, he called me out. And I wasn't bored. I wasn't tired. It just took me by surprise. I don't know where it came from. Oxygen deficiency, whatever it may be. But I was trying to make the point that I love that he's doing this kind of thing. I think it says a lot about how he's feeling about his team and how he's feeling himself.
All right, so Tausch, back to you. Jason, sit this one out. All right, so
yes,
Tausch,
sir.
If Jason is going to get called out for the yawn, did he make a mistake not doing the big yawn? In other words, like in the middle of LaFleur talking, be like, and then like stretch back and do the lean. Like, he should do the big yawn at this point. Why not? Lean into it.
I would think, and he is trying to act like it's like oxygen deficiency. If it doesn't matter if it's, you know, on purpose, you're tired, you're doing it on purpose. The recipient, the fact that LaFleur cut his answer short to bring this up, and it was a good answer. That he was, it was actually like
he
informative.
He finished the answer. He went back.
Yeah,
to
but
it.
He was so upset by you doing this that he brought it up, knowing it's all taped and on Packers.com and everywhere else. So you might as well have went super expressive with it, just said, yeah. But you, that's the part that I think we just can't get our head wrapped around.
Or just go like, you know, you are really boring. McCarthy was way more interesting. Can you liven it up a little bit, Coach? Ooh.
Can we get Halfley in here too. Instead?
Yeah, I mean, serious.
All right. So while I appreciate the feedback, I love the fact that he's, I don't want to get in trouble with the FCC. Is ball busting acceptable? Because that's what he's doing.
I think it's fair.
And I like that he's doing that. Evan, from what I heard from earlier in the conversation, you guys don't really care about small market teams in the national media, but the Green Bay Packers certainly spend a lot of time being discussed on your program. What do you make of Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes in Jordan Love, two fewer games because of the time he missed, both leading the league in interceptions right now?
There's a third in there with Gardner Minshew, but I think we're right to leave him out of this conversation. So this is where I get really confused because, like, I think the Packers are a defense-first team right now, which is a major compliment to them because they also have what can be a great quarterback. I believe that just keeping the ball away from the other team is the best possible thing you can do in ensuring that every drive ends in a kick, whether it's a punt or an extra point or a field goal. And I believe that Josh Allen, as an example, turned the ball over way too much and truly hurt his opportunity to score more points and help his team more by keeping the defense off the field. But then you get what you just brought up, and I get in my head all the analytics people, and I have this argument a lot with Hembo from Greeny's show, that turnovers sometimes are overrated. And I don't understand how that could be. If you're telling me a quarterback like Jordan Love is great, just simply saying, well, his interception didn't result to anything for the other team, to me is short-sighted because it should be, well, if he just kept the ball and didn't give it to the other team, what could he turn that possession into? So I am very confused how to look at those two guys absolutely just going out there and turning the ball over left and right and it not being a big deal. It has to be a big deal.
Yeah, again,
I think the Mahomes part of this is super interesting, and the fact that you can't even criticize Patrick Mahomes on any of it because last year we all thought, or at least I thought, they just don't look the part. They don't look like they're going to do it, and I forgot about Nuthwack, and when you forget about Nuthwack, you end up looking like an idiot, and that's what happened. So I ain't doing it. He could throw another 10 or 15 picks, and I'm not jumping in and saying that they can't win. I'm going to go Kansas City until somebody knocks them out. And with Jordan,
yes. Well, that,
I'm not
I
as, I guess.
But we're not Jordan.
Excuse me? Hello? I missed what you said.
I said, what about, I agree with the Mahomes part because he's done it three times. But what about with Love? Like, do you guys deem that to be an issue or is that just part of the gunslinging Favre-like mentality? Because I don't know the answer to that question.
I think there's a lot of fun little debates about what this is going to be. And I think for me, the fact that he is figuring things out and understanding this is only his, what, 21st or 22nd start as an NFL quarterback, where he's at, I'm okay with him trying to find himself and figure out where that line is, because I saw what he did at the end of last year, and I know that's where he needs to be. So I don't want to rein him in. I want to let, but I also, he has to understand you can't win in the playoffs doing what they did Sunday. You can't. You're going to lose 3 turnovers to 0. You're not going to win very many games in this league. And you, so I think LaFleur is in an interesting spot trying to balance that, but you have to let Jordan Love continue to grow. And the only way to do that is he's going to have some mistakes along the way.
But when is the cutoff, Tosh? As like, in all seriousness, as a former player, like, when is the cutoff to, like, okay, we're going to let you grow like we should let everyone grow, but you've been here long enough where the amount of interceptions is now not okay?
Detroit after Thanksgiving. That's when it's all right enough. We're cute.
So is that
cute with
the
growth and all this?
Time of-
it's time. It's, you know, early December. You start, you know, that's going to be one of those games that probably is going to determine the one seed, who's going to get a bye, all that. I think that's where you need to, you know, Belichick always said it always started after Thanksgiving. That was kind of his cutoff. Belichick seemed to have been pretty successful. I'll go along with his philosophy on that, and I'll say after Thanksgiving, which would be that Detroit game.
Well, he said that, and you know, we would have to ask him this, which I will never get the opportunity to do so. But
you had a chance to do it when you didn't go to that Rutgers game, is what I was told by someone close to
you.
You could have sat next to Belichick for a full game against Washington and Rutgers.
That's true. No,
but he didn't
go. Whoa!
Yep,
you're correct.
Yeah, can you believe that? A full game, just chopping it up with Belichick.
As
all
someone,
the content that he would have had, and he passed to undoing that.
As someone who once had dinner with Bill Belichick, I would say that was a missed opportunity.
When you say dinner with Bill Belichick, explain the details.
No,
that
was breakfast.
I could easily say,
it was
breakfast with Belichick.
It was dinner at the NFL Scouting Combine really early in my career. It was the first couple of years of his tenure in New England, and a bunch of very, very established NFL writers had an extra seat at their dinner reservation, and they invited some pipsqueak, me, to come along. And Belichick and Pioli came into the restaurant that we were in, and Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News had covered Belichick early in his career, and Bob Glauber was there too, and they both knew him. Belichick comes and pulls up. They move a table over, and him and Pioli sit with us, and he could not. This is why I was always fascinated by how he was in press conferences. I was dating a girl who lived in Annapolis, Maryland at the time. He was from Annapolis. I talked to him for 10 minutes, me and him talking, and he could not have been more engaging and interesting and likable. And we're seeing now in his post-Patriots career what I experienced that night at dinner.
Jared Mayo doesn't think so, I can tell you that.
But not at press conferences. It was incredible. So I'm sorry that you missed out on that opportunity.
Wow, wait, now you brought up a whole other thing. Forget this whole football stuff that we're talking about. So I have not been to dinner with many famous people like that. Tausch, who's the most famous person you've been to dinner with?
Russell Wilson.
No, he snubbed me.
Yeah.
Evan Cohen. My answer is Evan Cohen.
Oh, okay. No, seriously, Tausch. Is it Rodgers, Favre?
Justin Timberlake?
No, we didn't get we missed out. We had it playing a game, so we missed out on Justin Timberlake. Vanderbeek. Had a couple beers with Vanderbeek. Johnny Moxon, some would know him as. So that might be it.
I asked specifically who we had dinner with, not who we had beers with.
All right, who's yours? Who have you had?
I've had very few. I'm just curious. So, like, Jason is the winner by far on this?
Yeah, Belichick, probably, yeah.
Yeah, tough to beat.
Yeah. Jason, have you ever had dinner with somebody more famous than Belichick?
I don't think so. Let's be clear. Bill Belichick did not have dinner with me. I happened to be there in a large group, and he talked to me for a while, which was great. But he was not there because it was just him and I having an intimate dinner at St. Elmo's or whatever it was. Evan,
what about,
we got
okay, how about this? How about, no, you got to go? All right, fine.
Well, we're trying. Well, no, I just felt like it was lagging after Tausch had no answer for his famous dinner person. Thought maybe it was a good time.
How did that even come up? You got Jason going on a date in Annapolis talking to Belichick about a girl he's dating, and you ask me who I'm going to dinner with?
Not exactly. What
bad follow-up by Evan, in my opinion.
Oh,
that's on me? I thought, no yeah. way. I thought I had a good follow-up.
Yeah, it's on you.
No, it's not on
no,
you.
You will eat it. Dinner, the biggest you part, you don't even follow up.
All right, if you could go to dinner with one Wisconsin sports figure in history, who would it be?
Mm.
Just Lombardi. You and that person one-on-one.
Ooh.
Okay. Tausch?
I think Lombardi would be the right answer to that question. Actually, you know what? Paul Hornung would be pretty good, too. Max McGee.
Those would
but
be the
I
beers
think I'd go,
that you had with Vanderbeek.
I think I'd go Lombardi just to, I mean, that is the glory era of what we've done in this state. I think that's probably who I'd pick.
I'd go Dick Bennett.
Jason?
Yeah, but you could actually do that. So, like,
Jason, who are you picking?
Well, that.
Wait, why? I couldn't do that. Just one-on-one, he and I? You think I can get a date with him?
Yeah. I mean, if
really?
You want, we could make it a three-person dinner, and I could get that set up, I think. We got to go to Nakusa.
Did you go to where?
Nakusa. That's where he lives. He lives in Nakusa.
What state is that? Wisconsin?
It's in Wisconsin. Yeah. No, it's in Wisconsin.
All right. All right. Thank you, Evan. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. What is Tausch's problem?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I think I'm yawning during every Tausch question, as a matter of fact.
Evan, Tausch has decided we're done. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Wow, I'm stunned by Tausch today. All
yeah,
right.
You should be. I don't know.
Tired there, Jason?
No, I'm not tired. Thanks to Evan Cohen. We always enjoy our time with him, even when it's a... Why? You know, for two guys that are such good pals, I don't know why it's always so combative. It's not even... Sometimes it doesn't even feel
what
like it's in good fun.
What was
all right,
combative?
All right, Evan, we're
there?
Done with you. Okay, all right, done.
It's 10 o'clock.
He's very mindful of the clock.
Yeah, we have to... Yeah, I mean, at some point, there is a clock. You had 22 minutes. That's a long segment.
I'd choose Craig Counsell to go to dinner, by the way.
Clearly. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Mark Tauscher wants us to get to the 10 o'clock hour, and I do too. I know you enjoyed something that Dan Orlovsky did with a video breakdown, but I have a question that I want to kick off the 11 or the 10 o'clock hour with, and it is not related to Dan Orlovsky, for the record.
Okay.
It's about Jeff Hafley, and I want to ask you about him. That is where we will begin the 10 o'clock hour, which will begin in 2 minutes. I want to remind you, if you, and I hope you never have to make the call, I tell you that all the time, but if you've been seriously injured in an accident, you got to make the call. One call, that's all. David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Or just go to the website, Gruber-Law.com. You can find out more about David's history in almost 40 years in our state. Of course, also everything he and his firm do in our communities as well. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.